This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And I have something here that I think is important people hear about. A really good organization. We've been focusing on this matter of the three eyes phenomena. Australia, the United, UK, and the US, AUKUS, involving a nuclear submarine. Well, Dr. Kate Hudson of the Committee for Nuclear Disarmament, Australia, has written a comment about this, the AUKUS business, and it's very apropos of Canada. If anyone thought that talking of a new Cold War with China was overstating the case, the recently announced AUKUS military pact must make them think again. Surely time to deflect notions of US weakness after its defeat in Afghanistan. This major new multifaceted defense agreement between the US, UK, and Australia sees the latter firmly jump into the US camp and the former strengthen and renew its pivot to Asia through unashamedly militaristic means. The UK is coattailing the US, as usual, hoping to garner some jobs in nuclear reactor production and trying yet another gambit to boost the global Britain profile. Just 6 months on from the publication of the government's big overhaul of foreign and defense policy, the integrated review, which included 40% increase in nuclear arsenal, this is the UK's second significant provocation towards China, following on from the UK aircraft carrier's tour of the South China Sea. Australia has the most to lose from this agreement. China is its biggest trading partner, and up to recently, Australia has avoided getting too sucked into US strategies against China. Earlier attempts during Bush's presidency to build a quad against China with Australia, Japan, and India foundered when Kevin Rudd withdrew Australian support. But now Australia is back in the fold. Billed by the signatories as a landmark defense and security partnership, it's partly being sold as a value-driven agreement to support a peaceful rules-based international order. US, UK rhetoric for some time now, even when the US was unilaterally withdrawing from the fundamental pillars of the said order, new order, international order, and its key military focus centers on the development of joint capabilities and technology sharing, deeper integration of security and defense-related science, technology, industrial bases, and supply chains. What this actually means is that the US and UK are going to collaborate with Australia to help provide them with nuclear-powered submarines. Bizarrely, the joint government statement suggests that this will promote stability in the Indo-Pacific. It looks more likely to massively ramp up tension in the region at a time when cooperating with China in the run-up to the COP26 to deal with the climate emergency should be top of the agenda. Not surprisingly, the Chinese authorities have responded well. It's also dealt a blow to Britain's relations with France, which already have contract with Australia to provide them with diesel electric powered subs to replace their aging fleet. That contract has now been ripped up. But in spite of comments about delays in production and escalating costs, this is not a military industrial decision. It's a strategic one, fully entering the US orbit and being granted access to rare nuclear reaction technology. Nuclear, whether military or civilian, is always controversial and symbolic. And here it means Australian admission to the top level club. Only 6 countries, all nuclear weapon states, have nuclear powered subs. It is also an indication by the US of the priority it gives to this growing, fortunately still cold, conflict and its determination to get Australia on side and keep it there. The nuclear component of the sub lies in the fact that they are powered by onboard nuclear reactors. They don't have nuclear weapons, and the Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has been quick to insist that Australia will not be pursuing either nuclear weapons or civil nuclear capacity. Beyond the strategic nightmare created by AUKUS, there is much that is not yet clear. Will the Australians build the subs or buy them? How will the highly enriched uranium necessary to fuel the reactors be provided? There is no doubt that the provision of reactors and the technology they require is the most significant factor here. Reactor technology is highly prized and top secret. As uranium used for the reactors is enriched to 95% weapons grade. The US and UK cooperate on this under the terms of the Mutual Defense Agreement, the world's most extensive nuclear sharing agreement, which first came into force in 1958, renewed by Parliament every decade, the last time in 2014, allowed for greater cooperation on reactor technology. If the Australians were going to build the reactors themselves, they would need US technology and expertise and a nuclear sharing agreement with the US of their own. So the simplest solution would be to buy by the men. Boris Johnson's comments so far about jobs suggest he will try to get reactor orders for Rolls-Royce factory in Derby. Maybe he will also try for the decommissioning contracts for the spent fuel that eventually needs disposing of. Presumably, it will add to the nightmare buildup of radioactive waste at the dangerously unsafe Sellafield complex in Cumbria. Highly enriched uranium is stored there, but no safe long-term storage facility has yet been found. Boris Johnson said in Parliament today that the AUKUS agreement will not contravene the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, that this is for nuclear power, not nuclear weapons, so the restrictions do not apply. But the fact is, we're talking about providing weapons-grade enriched uranium to a non-nuclear weapon state to power military submarines undertaking provocative action in a very fraught area of the world. The Non-Proliferation Treaty does not stop the exchange of civil nuclear technology, but it stipulates it must be for peaceful purposes. Sending war-fighting subs to potential conflict in the Indo-Pacific region is hardly that. This is yet another breach of international law by our government, hard on the heels of the nuclear arsenal increase. It is time to stand up and oppose the government's reckless and illegal foreign policy. And that is from Dr. Kate Hudson, the Committee for Nuclear Disarmament General Secretary. And this is the Taylor Report. Call attention to this important matter because we read in the Toronto Star a headline, Canada lagging on Indo-Pacific strategies. And then the subhead says, Ottawa risks losing out on decisions to help shape the region, expert says. To which we would say, goody, goody. That's the last thing Canada needs. It's a very worrisome development. And I'd like to point out that Indo-Pacific is a new term, and I spoke about it on the program last week. This is, they say, a policy where they want us to modify our mental maps by saying Indo-Pacific. We stop saying Asian Pacific. Years ago, when the US was prompting Saddam Hussein to wage war on the Islamic Republic, they began to call the Persian Gulf the Arab Gulf, Arab Gulf, deliberately to actually incite mutual hostility. But by introducing nomenclature, where people just casually, and including, by the way, the woman who wrote that piece for the nuclear disarmament, everyone should watch themselves. The United States Navy decided, after the concept of the pivot to Asia came up, introduced by the lovely liberal Osama. It's Osama, is that his name? I mean, Barack Obama. It was Republicans who called him Osama. Anyhow, Barack Obama said he's going to pivot to Asia. Well, the U.S. Naval Command then introduced the term, instead of saying Asia-Pacific, they said Indo-Pacific. The military changed their language. It's interesting that the Pentagon would make the decision and our local reporters and our media all immediately decide that they too are going to join in on this change of nomenclature. And it is not a good idea, of course. And let's speak honestly. What they're talking about is a developing alliance of states where the understanding between them, and they're all liars, is that they're mutually supportive and they don't have any foe in mind except China. They say, they are concerned about China. This we have to resist. Canada should have nothing to do with the Three Eyes, and it shouldn't have anything to do with the Quad, which is India, Japan, UK, and the US, who are putting warships right now, aircraft carrier, the most dangerous naval vessel, aircraft carrier, between Chinese island of Taiwan. Look at it on map and look at the United Nations resolutions. China, Taiwan's part of China, putting US and British warships, aircraft carriers, in those waters, which is extremely dangerous. Last point I want to make is that the concept of Indo-Pacific was introduced originally by the Germans and the Japanese between the two wars. And they were trying to create the idea because Japan was looking for an alliance hoping to bring India into an alliance with themselves. And so they used the term Indo-Pacific. And one of the great leaders of that idea was a German professor, and his star student was named Hermann Hesse, who went on to big things amongst the Nazis. So you always want to look into the origins. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT, and we'll see you next week.